opinion, his approach to non-Jews, and how that eventually...
I'm sorry, I apologize.
All right, eventually that affects the way we view non-Jews in our daily life. It affects our political views. It affects the way we see the coming of Mashiach, and many, many different things depending on attitude towards non-Jews. So to start, we have the Maimonides in his... I'm going to quote mostly from the Mishnah Torah, from the Book of Laws of Maimonides, and he has a very, very fascinating law that's written in the laws of the sabbatical year in the Jubilee, Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. And you have it in front of you, it's numbered 1 on the top left-hand side. And if you look at the 12, law 12, and I'll quote very quickly in the Hebrew, I'll paraphrase. So why wasn't Levi, the tribe of Levi, why did they merit inheritance in the land of Israel and their spoils with the rest of their brothers? Because they're separated to serve God, to serve Him and to teach His correct ways and His laws to the multitude. As it says in the verse, that the Yoram Mishpatah Yaakov, we shall teach Yaakov your laws, the Torah says, on the Torah to the Israel. Therefore, they're separated from the ways of the world. They're not, I'm paraphrasing here, good morning. They do not wait for. Take anything or acquire anything by their own physical prowess. Elohim Chayel Hashem. They're like the army of God. We're just starting here in number 1. And the law 13 goes on to say, "V'lo shei Levi bavad." This idea, this concept of people who are totally dedicated to God and the army of God, and as it says in the last phrase, says, "V'hu baruch hu zochel lahem." I forgot to mention, and God Himself is the one who gives them their needs. That's not only by shei Levi. That's not only by the tribe of Levi, but I'll call ish b'kol b'yalim. Every man, every individual, really, every person. The world's inhabitants, Asher Nadva Rucho, the spirit moved him, Avinu Madal, the Bada La'amu Ba'atnei Hashem, and he has understanding, or intelligence, gave him understanding to separate himself, to stand before God, to serve Him, and to minister before Him, to know Him, and to go straight in His ways. And in part, Me'al Tzavar Allah Cheshbonos, that He removes from his neck the yoke of all the needs, the normal needs of human beings, Asher Bikshu Bnei Adam, which other people seek out. Harizan Eskadesh Kodesh Kadashim, He makes Himself holy like the Holy of Holies. V'Hashem Chalko, God is His portion, V'Nachalasa, and His inheritance, V'Olam V'Olme Olamim, forever and ever. And God will help him acquire those things which he needs in this world, just like He helps the priests and the Levites. So what you have here is an unbelievable statement. This is usually quoted to say that every person, usually it's used as every Jew has the ability to be just like the tribe of Levi, just like to be the Kohanim. God helps you, you completely devote yourself to the service of God. But when you look carefully, what does it say? It says, every single individual from among the world's inhabitants, we call Baal HaOlam. That means every individual, whether Jew or non-Jew, has the ability to be on the level of the Kohanim. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they have the ability, the right to convert and to become a Kohen. It's saying you have the right to devote yourself to the service of God and become the equivalent of a Kohen. Now, that seems to say that there's complete and total equality, and one of the things it does is it removes the notion that what separates us are two things, which I'll discuss later, is the fact that our soul somehow is inherently different than a non-Jew's soul. And that because we have the Torah and the mitzvahs, we have the 613 mitzvahs, that separates us completely from the non-Jews, and we're way, way ahead of the non-Jews. It seems to equate them. And by the way, anyone, you could please take part and ask any questions you'd like. But then we'll go to the next thing that I have, number 2 on these handouts. I do have 2 now, on the same page in English. And It's the end of chapter 3 in the laws of Tshuva, the end of the parak, the end of the halacha. In English it starts similarly, and in the Hebrew it's v'chein kol harishon, a few lines before vav. So it's a long halacha, and the Rambam says v'chein kol harishon shavu nasein ruven, all wicked people who have a lot of sins, they're judged according to sins, but they have a portion in the world to come. Every Jew has a portion in the world to come, even though they sin, as the Pasuk says, the people are all righteous forever they inherit the land. And Eretz is mashal, the word Eretz land here is a metaphorical term. The land of the living refers to the world to come. And also the pious, the righteous of the nations of the world have a portion in the world to come. So this statement is a clear-cut statement that Chassidei Umos HaOlam, if you're pious and a non-Jew, you could have a portion of the world to come. But it seems to be a very strange juxtaposition here. If you look at the context, and I just finished saying that even though you sin, a Jew he's referring to, even though a Jew sins, he has a portion of the world to come. And also, the pious of the nations of the world have a portion of the world to come. A simple reading in that context would almost equate a non-Jew with a sinning Jew, which seems to make sense from the point of view that, well, if I sin and I don't keep, let's say, Shabbos or Kashrus, then I'm lacking some of the mitzvahs, even though I might be still in the category of Yisrael, in the category of being a Jew and have a portion of the world to come. So too, with Chassidei Umos HaOlam, the non-Jews, they don't have the mitzvahs, they're not keeping Shabbos or Kashrus, they're equal to a Jew who sins. That might be the conclusion. You could disagree with that. Yes.
In the world to come, a Jew who converted out of Judaism is still a Jew?
Yes, 100%. Here we're not talking about, once a Jew, I'm not going to go into that, but once a Jew, once a non-Jew converts, they're completely equal to a Jew. But here, even if they're not, they remain non-Jewish, and we'll see in a minute, I'll show you the definition of what a pious amongst the nations of the world, but simply it's they don't have and accepted all of the 613 commandments, but they seem to be equal, and from this reading, and I might be wrong, but from this reading it would seem to lend itself to equal to a Jew who's a sinner. This is in contradiction to the first source I brought to, which said they can be as great as the Kohanim, as great as the priests, and God takes care of them, which is the highest level of divine providence. Now, let me move you along just to make sure that you see some of these sources here. The next page, or three, you have to turn it sideways for three, brings you to the Hilchos Melachim, the Laws of Kings. And there, another fascinating Rambam. The Rambam says, and I'll paraphrase as we go along here, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not give the Torah and the mitzvahs except to the Jews. And it was only the Jews have inherited the Torah and the mitzvahs. If you could pass back to me. So the Torah was only given, the Torah and mitzvah only given to the Jews, as it says, inherited to the congregation of Yaakov. And whoever in here answers your question, and anybody also who wants to convert amongst the other nations. As it says, you shall be like anybody who converts will be like you. But somebody who does not want to accept the mitzvahs, the commandments, were in the handout were at number three. And you could read through one and two if you have a chance. Anybody who does not want to accept the mitzvahs, we do not force them or him to accept the Torah mitzvahs. And so too this Moshe was commanded to force all inhabitants of the world to accept the mitzvahs which were commanded to Noah, to the sons of Noah. So Moshe has a command, and we as Jews have the obligation, responsibility to force non-Jews to keep the seven mitzvahs, the Rambam states here. But whoever doesn't want to accept them gets killed. don't try this at home, please. Vamakapa, who also nikka geratosha. So whoever accepts the seven mitzvahs is considered an alien resident, a geratosha.
Isn't that only talking about the goyim who are living amongst you?
Yeah. If they're not under your power, of course you can't do this.
Okay.
And actually, these halachas there are. That's what I meant by don't try it at home. But what I'm trying to impress upon you is the fact that ideally, that's what our obligation is, to spread, in a sense, spread the word of the minimum of the seven Noachai laws. And when you do accept that, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, this is, halachically, this is very specific to an Eretz Yisrael, when there's a Sanhedrin, you're correct. But, and whoever accepts it is called a Ger Toshet, and he has to accept it in front of a Bezdin, okay? B'chol ha-makabo lo-gomo, okay, and then it goes on, the next sentence is a little problematic, let's skip to 11. B'chol ha-makabo shavim mitzvahs v'nizara asos, and whoever accepts these seven mitzvahs and is careful in fulfilling them, ha-rezeh mechassidim l'sa'olam, that's what designates a person as the pious amongst the nations of the world. So he's equated, from a halachic point of view, the halacha, the law of a ger tosher, a resident, an alien resident, which has specific laws which we won't go into, and chassidim l'sa'olam, the pious of the nations of the world. And therefore, the requirement is that they accept the seven mitzvahs of Noah, which is more than seven mitzvahs, really, because there's seven general categories, which includes many different things, but there's certainly less than the 613 commandments. The yeshu chelikum haba, and they have a portion of the world to come. And if you go on, this is a very, very difficult halacha also, because he says that they have to accept it because Moshe commanded them at Har Sinai, and if they only do it from their own knowledge, they're not considered mechassidim l'sa'olam, to the pious of the nations of the world. And then there's a word there, v'lo mechachomehem, and not from their scholars, and not from their, how is he translated, and not one of their wise men. But there are two different versions, and some have, instead of avav there, it's elo mechachmeyim, but they are from the wise men. A very, very difficult passage. A lot of discussion, a lot of ink has been spilled over it.
So they should be studying from some, or they
should... Right, so that's a very good question. I don't want to get into the details here. I just want to show you that there's a big issue here. Do they have to accept it from a tradition from Moshe, or do they have to, or could they figure that out themselves, is an issue here. The Rambam certainly says they have to accept it as a tradition from Moses on Har Sinai, which obviously is not true all the time, because before Moses, before there was Moshe and Har Sinai, there were still B'nai Noach who were keeping the mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, right? So obviously it's something, that something historical starts to take a place here and plays a role. And I think it has to do with the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, one of them being accepting the prophecy of Moses and Moshe, which then somehow has to play into the non-Jews also. It's a complicated issue. If when we have an extra 20 minutes, we'll discuss it. But for my purposes, whoever was late, I'll just sum up. For my purposes, what we have is, we have, again, where it's laid out that you are from the Chassidim Umas Ha'olam, you are from the pious of the nations of the world if you accept the seven mitzvahs of Noah. But it seems to be a second-class citizen again, because he first said that Moshe gave the Torah mitzvahs to the Jews, and everyone who wants to accept it is fine. Someone who doesn't, you could read this as is still mechassidim l'sa'olam, is still from the pious of the nations of the world, and has a portion of the world to come, but it's not clear if the portion is equal or not equal to a Jew. So it's not clear how you read these last two sources I brought you, but the fact that he puts it in context with either you have all the mitzvahs or you don't might create the impression that it's more of a, well, you're not equal to a Jew. But the first source I brought, that you went here for, says that anybody who inhabits the world could be like the tribe of Levi, which is the highest level. He has no mention of the concept of mitzvahs, of Torah. It's just, well, I shouldn't say not Torah, but just as long as you devote yourself to God, you are taken care of by God, and you're like a Kohen, you're like a priest in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple. And that's a very high level. God looks up over you, he brought a pasuk, Hashem l'maskalki, God is my portion, and I inherit also the word v'olam or v'olmei olam, which I forgot to mention, is a phrase which is used generally for olam haba, again, for the world to come. So he's saying that the world to come comes to anybody who devotes themselves to God, whether Jew or non-Jew, on an equal basis. So we have to go back to other parts of the Rambam to start to understand why it's so important, the philosophy of the Rambam, that there's equality. And again, I'm hedging it here with the mitzvahs part, and I'll come back to that. But I'm seeing on one level at least, there's equality between Jew and non-Jew. So if you go to on the handout 4, which is still on the first page, and in Hebrew it's in page 4 if you want to look at it in there. After he lays out the Rambam lays out his 13 principles of faith, he says, when a person, Adam is not a Jew, but a person, accepts these fundamental principles, then it's barer emunah b'hashem, and it's clear his faith or belief or understanding in them. Who nichnas b'chlal Yisrael, he enters into the category of Yisrael. U'mitzvah la'ava l'rachem alav v'linev amel b'chol mashitziva Hashem Yisrael v'ishlach haver min ha'ava v'achva. And it's a command, and we're commanded to love him and have mercy on him, and to act with him as much as God told us to act with people with love and brotherhood or fellowship. And God is saying, even if he does one of the averos, one of a sin, he gets punished, but he has a portion in the world to come, which is similar to the source we saw before in the Mishnah Torah. What's very important about this line, and it's underlined in the Hebrew, is it says when a person, again, accepts these principles, what happens to him? He's nichnas v'chlal Yisrael. He enters into the category of Yisrael. This seems to be very clear that to be called a Jew, and this is not a halachic Jew, I would say, but a theoretical Jew. And a halachic Jew certainly needs conversion, accepting mitzvahs, going to the mikvah, and a man would need a bris milah, and in the time of Beis HaMikdash, in the time of the temple, would need to bring an offering, a carbon. But conceptually, as soon as you accept the mitzvahs, as soon as you accept the 13 principles of faith, you will become a Yisrael. Now the Rambam here, by the way, this is completely out of context for you, but it's an explanation of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which says, "Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba." Every Jew has a portion of the world to come. And at the end of all that talk, the Rambam has a long, long piece here. At the end, he says that if you accept the 13 principles, you are a Yisrael. Now, the Mishnah says every Jew has a portion of the world to come. It takes on all new meaning. It doesn't mean that every Jew, to the exclusion of every non-Jew, has a portion of the world to come. But any person who accepts the 13 principles is a Jew. And the opposite is also true. He goes on to say that whoever doesn't accept it, and when a person does not accept one of these principles, he removes himself from the category. He's denying a principle, and he's called a min, and not bikaris, and someone who cuts the shoots. And it's a mitzvah of Sarah or Abdo.
Again, it says Adam.
It doesn't change it. The subject is still the same.
So it says whether it's a Jew or non-Jew.
That's right.
If he doesn't believe in all 13.
And it's a mitzvah to hate him and to destroy him.
So
again, please, don't try this at home.
This is independent of the Melchai to laws?
That's right. It has nothing to do. This is a statement which is made. Again, some would argue with my interpretation of it. But he's saying the 13 principles of faith is what defines you as a Yisrael. And if you don't accept them, you're not a Yisrael.
But just if you're born Jewish.
Doesn't matter.
You're still happy cars, right?
Right, you're still happy cars. As someone once quoted a time, this is, you're never the happy cars, if you're born with that. But and according to them, again, this is not necessarily the view of everyone, and certainly is not necessarily the accepted view within Judaism, necessarily. But it's the Rambam's view here is that what makes you a Yisrael in regard certainly to the concept of being a Yisrael, and that you get a portion of the world to come, is accepting the 13 principles. This is very important. If you think about it, we don't have time to go into it in detail again, but if you think about it in the Torah, where does the notion of Yisrael come from? It's Yaakov, who after he struggles with the angel, or with his brother, he acquires the title Yisrael. It's an acquired title. It's not something you're born with. You're born being B'nai Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, being the sons of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. But you acquire the title of Yisrael. Again, of course, you know, halachically, I happen to have been born a B'nai Yisrael, and therefore, no matter what, I'm considered a Jew who has the obligations of the mitzvahs. But the Rambam's telling me that I can lose my guaranteed portion in the world to come, because it's only guaranteed if you accept the 13 principles. So it's dogma which really defines belief, which really defines what a person, if a person inherits the world to come, and is called a Yisrael. So we're starting to get a notion of where the Rambam is coming from here. That there's, I mean, it's equality is not just something because he liked to be, you know, he had political correctness, but his general philosophy is one which leads him to the belief that all really have the ability to be equal. Some of the other sources I laid out actually will start to help you understand where the Rambam comes from in a different sense, that you have to try to understand why, how does he define the soul in the first place? As what makes a soul a Jewish soul? So, again, just to refer you to other approaches, many commentaries would say that you're born with a Jewish soul. If you look at some of the, certainly the mystical commentaries, the Maral talks about it at length, the Baal HaTanya says this, we find it in the Kuzari, they all seem to say that there's a basic difference between a Jewish soul and a non-Jewish soul. There's an inherent difference between the two. Maimonides, though, is not of that belief, because in the next, and 5, which I don't have an English translation for, and I apologize for that, but in 5, which is in the laws of the foundation family principles of the Torah, in... it's Perek Dalah Halacha Ches, chapter 4 and law 8, he defines what a soul is. And he says that Nefesh Kol Basar Hitzuraso, the soul of all flesh, again, and he's not saying here specifically somebody who's Jewish, but rather the soul of a man, Hitzuraso, is its form. And here you have to be familiar with the terminology of Maimonides, what form is form and substance. Let's simplify and just say the form is the soul, is what defines you as being, defines who you are. So the nefesh kol basar to us is your form. Shenas ma'akel, which God gave you. Ba'das ha'yisera ha'matsui b'nafsha shalom v'hitzur sa'adim ha'shalom v'darto. Basically what this Rambam is saying is that the knowledge, the intellectual capability that man is given by God is what defines us to be a human being. And in regard to that too, in regard to that form, it says in the Torah, Nasa Adam v'Tzalmeinu k'Tzelem, that man was made in an hour, meaning God and Eve, and the angel's likeness, image and likeness. And he goes on to say that means that you should have an understanding of the angels and with seeing God. Again, we can't go into the details here, we'll get too bogged down, but the idea is it's intellectual